You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Okay, turn with me, if you will, if you have your Bibles. Turn with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. I want to teach tonight on, you're more than who you are on the outside. We'll say that. You are more than who you are on the outside. You believe that?
Yes.
I hope so. Because there's a lot of times we don't look a whole lot different than somebody out there that doesn't even know the Lord. Are you in there? But we are more than who we are on the outside. And the Bible's very plain along those lines. The fact be known, the truth be known, that even the world that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, they're more than who they are on the outside. And that's the whole dilemma that we're in, the planet Earth, the human race. Is that there's something wrong with us on the inside until we get to Jesus. There's something wrong, drastically, desperately wrong in us, inside of us. You know, something may look good on the outside, but finally, whatever's inside will affect that outside. If the core's wrong and so on. And, you know, because of sin, because of what's wrong with us before we met Jesus, it affected our body in such a way that our bodies will die, even as Christians. And that's a result of what was wrong on the inside. Our body has not been redeemed yet. It was not saved. And that brings up an interesting question too. We talk about salvation. We talk about being saved, becoming a Christian, and where all that takes place. That doesn't take place in our body. It doesn't take place in this human form that we're walking around in. This tent, this tabernacle, this body is not redeemed. Now, thank God we can get some healing for it from time to time. We can bless it to some degree, but it is decaying. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "The outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day." Now there we're getting down to who we really are. We are who we are on the inside.
Yes.
And even in the natural, you know that when you talk with people, just think about it. Somebody can look good and you get to talking to them. Man, there's somebody you wouldn't even want to spend the time of day with, you know, after talking to them, because they are who they are inside,
yes.
Not what they look like on the outside. And then you may see some people that may not look all that impressive, but you get to talking to them, and man, I'm telling you, those are the kind of people you want to be around and emulate because of what's on the inside of them. You are who you are inside, the one looking at me out of those eyes. That's the real you, not the body that you're in. We make a lot of the body. We make a lot of appearances and so on and so forth. And there's nothing wrong with looking good. There's nothing wrong with taking care of the temple. Are you with me? But it's what's inside the temple that makes the temple holy.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And when he talks about you walking holy and living holy, why is that? Because you are holy on the inside.
Amen.
And so you want that temple holy. You want to walk clean. You want to live holy. You want to do all those things because of what's on the inside of you.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
What's happened on the inside of you. And then, of course, Paul even says this, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, or God's property.
Yes.
So I belong to God now. Yeah. Something happened to me when I got saved. And I didn't just decide to be better. I didn't decide to live nicely, to quit cussing and start living right and quit partying and start helping people instead of living for myself, living for others. I didn't just decide to do all that one day. Something happened to me when I got saved. Something deeper than that.
Amen.
Something more than just the outside. In fact, what happened to me on the inside.
Amen.
And what happened to you on the inside. And we need to learn to live out of the inside. As Paul says in Galatians, the 5th chapter, he says we ought to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, or not after the flesh. And that takes some education. You know, it takes some training. It takes some commitment. It takes some discipline on our part. Because we're trained all of our lives to live a certain way and to think a certain way and look at people a certain way. And we're trained to be moved by appearances and look on the outside, not on the inside. And whatever we feel, go after it. That's the world's philosophy. It feels good, do it, you know. We've got to turn all that around. You have to change your thinking when you get saved. You know, your thinking doesn't even change when you're born again. Your mind's pretty much the same. See, your mind's not born again. Your body's not born again. It just looks the same, basically, you know. Maybe you're smiling a little more now than you used to.
Yeah.
But it looks about like everybody else's body, you know. And your mind, really, you still have all the memories, you have all the thoughts that you thought before. They're still there.
That's right.
But there's something different on the inside. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, there's something that happened. It didn't happen in your head, and it didn't happen in your body. It happened in your spirit.
Yes, right.
Must be that spirit. That must be what it is. Well, it is. That's what the Bible does say happens. And so when you look at everybody in the world and everybody that's in church, everybody that's saved, a Christian, everybody that's in the world does not know God, is not a Christian, we all pretty much look the same. I mean, we might dress differently and so on and so forth. You carry on conversations. And I'd submit to you, everybody has a spirit. Lost people have a spirit. Born again people have a spirit. But their spirit is dead to God and ours is alive to God. They're still living, they're still breathing, they're still acting, walking, and talking. And you know, when they die, that spirit's still going to go somewhere. Just not going to go to heaven if they don't know Jesus. But something took place. I know in my life it's pretty easy. I can sit here and give them a whole testimony, but that you need some scripture to back it up. Because we all got testimonies, we all have experiences, and it doesn't really matter about our testimonies, experiences in validating the truth.
That's right.
Are you with me? We need the truth. And all of our testimonies and experiences do is just, you know, they just testify to the truth. And so I've had some experiences, but they're not real just because I've had them. They're real because they're biblical and they're scriptural, and you can repeat them. You can't repeat my experiences outside of the Word, but you can repeat the words and the promises I stood on. You can repeat the truths of God's Word. My experience may be somewhat a little different than yours, but there are some things that are common to us all, and how do we know what they are? Well, we get in the Word and find that out. Amen. There's something wrong with the world, obviously. You know, you're looking at people and, my goodness, what's wrong with the world? What's wrong with people? Come on, I mean, we're all got the same bodies. We're walking around. We think. But we don't all think the same, do we? And we don't have the same, you know, perspective about things, worldview, as it were. I mean, you got people all over the world think differently and so on and so forth, different from Christianity. And there's something wrong with the world. And the Bible tells us what's wrong with it, and it happened way back in Genesis when Adam sinned against God.
Amen.
That's fascinating because, you know, of all the religions of the world, if you want to look at it, only the Bible tells us there's something wrong with the world, and it tells us what went wrong.
Yeah.
It tells exactly, this world is not okay. There's something wrong with it. There's something messed up, and there's something messed up with us. And the only way we're going to get that thing messed up is to be born again.
Amen.
That's what Jesus says in John 3rd chapter. You know the story. Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Jesus looks at him and says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And of course, that blew Nicodemus away. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? And Jesus said, well, that which is born of flesh is flesh. I'm not talking about another flesh birth. That wouldn't help you one bit. You've got to be born spiritually. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit.
Amen.
Wow. That's what happened to us. Mine wasn't born again. My body wasn't born again. My spirit was born again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've got this passion, this drive inside my spirit, but my mind's just the same mind I always had. My body's the same body I always had. And I'd submit to you too, your old habits are still the same old habits you had. So what you're going to have to do, if this is a case, and we know it is, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, if you're going to be a witness, then after you're born again, you need to change your mind.
That's right.
And renew your mind, as Paul says in Romans 12, 2. He says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by being born again. No, he didn't say that. He said, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's going to make the difference. And it's a shame, really, when you think about it, that you could actually be saved, born again, spirit changed, alive to God, and yet never live an effective witness or an effective Christian life, and never be a victorious Christian. What is the problem? Well, it's not with God. Amen? It's not with God. That's why we have this big instruction, man. There's not just one verse in the Bible that says, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, be born again. There's a lot of instruction for us after we're born again.
That's right.
Why? Because God likes to boss us around? No, because He wants us to be victorious.
That's right.
He wants us to be effective. He wants us to help people and be a witness and a light. And that takes a different way of thinking, different way of living. That takes living out of our spirit instead of out of our flesh. Thinking on the things of the spirit instead of the things of the flesh. And it's just the way things work. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, it's just tough. You didn't make the world. He did. And the potter cannot, clay can't say to the potter, why did you make me thus? This is the way the world works. This is the way the kingdom of God works. And if you want to move on up in the kingdom, then you're going to have to renew your mind with the word of God.
That's right.
No ifs, ands, buts about it. No two ways about it. There's only one way to do it. And you're going to have to get in the word and get the word in you.
Amen.
It'll change you. It'll change your habits. It'll change your thinking. It'll change the outcomes of your experiences. It'll change your future. Now, no amount of reading and studying, no amount of memorizing Scripture, no amount of applying the Word or acting the Word will get you saved. That's an act of the Spirit that happened in your spirit when you were born again. That was an act of God. That's what God did. You're not saved by works. But I'll tell you what, you sure are effective and you're victorious by works.
That's right.
And you're a witness by works.
Come on.
Stay with me. And you sure overcome by them. By your faith. In other words, applying what you know, digging in here, getting the word inside of you, meditating it day and night, praying it, confessing it, standing on it, working it, working it, working it, working it. You gotta work the word.
Yes.
Gotta work the word. But the good news is you are now alive to God, and Jesus did that if you accepted Him and received Him. You're now born again. Your spirit is born again. That's an awesome truth. See, you are a spirit living in a body, and you have a soul or a mind. Your mind is where your will and your emotions are. That's a product of your training, of what you've associated with, what you've listened to, what you've studied, who you've been around, all those kinds of things. Well, if you change who you've been around, you change what you're listening to, and you change what you're studying, it'll change the way you think.
That's right.
Amen. And that's why we have the Bible. That's why it says so much about how to love and how to forgive and, you know, how to live as a Christian, as a believer. To change the way we think, to change the way we walk, because He wants us to live victorious. Just being born again, that's going to get us to heaven. That happened in my spirit. But my mind was not born again, neither was my body. My habits didn't just stop. My thinking didn't just change. I mean, how could you think the thoughts of God in the Scriptures if you don't even know what they are? That's impossible to do that. In fact, the Bible says the Holy Spirit only brings to our remembrance the things that Jesus said.
Yeah.
Everybody say remembrance.
Remembrance.
Well, to remember something means you heard it.
Yes.
So all the Holy Spirit really does in that sense is if you'll get in the Word and if you'll hear the Word, He'll help you remember it.
Amen. That's right.
But you're going to have to read it and you're going to have to study it and you're going to have to get into it in order for Him to remind you of it.
Yeah. That's good. Come on.
See, God doesn't give us knowledge. He gives us revelation. We go after knowledge.
Yes.
We study.
That's good. That's
good. Awesome.
Are you with me? I had to go after the knowledge. He's there to reveal it to me, but He only reveals what I study. He only reveals what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have an obligation there, you know, as a born-again believer, one whose spirit has been changed and alive to God now, to give my will over to Him and put my eyes in His book and give my ears to His teaching and then change the outside. Now, good news is we can do it. And God will sure help us do it. He'll help us be like Him. There's no question God will help us. Now, if we don't want to be like Him, we're on our own. But if we want to be like Jesus, He will help us be like Jesus. And if you want to improve your life and if you want to live for God and you want to help others and bless others and be a witness and be a light, you've got all the help of heaven behind you. You do. If you'll just make the decision and give your will over to Him, now that you are born again, now that you are saved, now you're not who you used to be, so you need to get that out of your thinking because now you're alive to God. Whereas before you might have tried and didn't work, now you're born again, you can make it happen. And even if you tried it as a Christian, it didn't work. You didn't give it your all, because if you do, God would have undergirded you and helped you. And you're not a failure. You can make it happen. You can do it. You can do all things that Christ strengthens you. Amen?
Amen.
You can live for God. You can serve God. You can improve. You can be a better husband, better wife. You can be a better father, better mother. You can be a better Christian, better witness. You can be. You are now a child of God. If you've accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So all this took place. Redemption took place. The new birth, the born again experience took place in your spirit. Christian growth is going to take place when you renew your mind and yield your body to the Word. Discipline yourself to live for God, to get in His Word, to stand up for Jesus, to talk about Him. Whatever's in you is going to come out of you. If it's not coming out, then you need to examine what's going in. If you find yourself not talking so much about God, if you find yourself not praying so quick as you used to when something happened, if you find yourself not quoting the Word like you used to all the time and talk about the Lord, then you need to check out how much is going in you.
That's right. Amen.
This is not condemnation. This is help. This is instruction. We all have to work on this. Amen? Now, second chapter of Ephesians. Found it? Set all that up. Now you're more than who you are on the outside. Amen? You're more than what you see on the outside. Second chapter, first verse says, "And you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Everybody say, "We're dead."
We're dead.
I were dead. I am not dead now.
That's right.
Now this is interesting because he's talking to us who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, I know full well I was very much alive before I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I can tell you a lot of things I did when I was unsaved.
Amen.
I had a voice. I thought. I moved. I acted. I breathed. What's he talking about here? Well, he's talking about being dead to Him. I wasn't alive to Him. I was very much dead to God. You He made alive. "And you hath He made alive," or quickened, King James says, "made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Wow. So I were dead, but I am now alive.
Amen.
Well, I'm not alive any different. I'm no different physically. I thought before and I think now. I had thoughts then, I got thoughts now. So it's not my soul or my mind. We often talk about a soul being saved, you know. But your soul, your mind, is that's not what gets saved. What gets saved is your spirit. That's what he was talking about here. Remember when Adam ate the fruit, the mango? Man eat, man go. You know, that was deep. You'll have to think about that. When he ate, it says, "In the day you eat this, you will die." But how do you know he did not die that day? He was still very much alive. He started hiding after that. Remember, God started looking for him. He walked with him in the cool of the evening. He says, "Adam, where are you?" And then he finally came out of hiding. He says, "Well, why'd you hide yourself?" And he says, "Well, I was afraid. I hid myself." And he said, "Did you eat the fruit that I told you not to eat of?" Because he told him, "The day you eat it, you'll die." What, did he die physically? No. Did he die mentally, soulically, in the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions? No, he was still talking. He was still thinking. He died spiritually. But what does that mean? Now think about that. Does that mean he ceased to exist as a spirit? No, his spirit, he still had a spirit. I'd submit to you, he was very much alive spiritually, but he was very much dead spiritually to God. I mean, when you're born again, God doesn't just put a spirit in you. You already had one. It just was unregenerate, dead to God. It was by nature a child of disobedience. And what happened is he rejuvenated it. He caused it to live.
Amen.
His life. He put his life into it. And so now you're alive to God. You were alive before, but you were dead to God. See, if you think of separation is a better word. When you think of death. Death just means separation. What happens when a man or a woman dies and we have a funeral and we go and we stand over that coffin? What happened? Their spirit has been separated from their body. They're really not dead. They're alive somewhere. The Christian is in heaven. The lost person's in hell. They're very conscious. They're very aware. They're alive somewhere. But there are dead to this body. They're separated from this body. Does that make sense? So that's like a separation. So when we talk about spiritual death, all we're talking about there is a separation from God. So when Adam died, he was separated from God. He was pushed out of the garden. There was a cherubim standing there with a flaming sword facing every way to keep them out of the garden, out of the presence of God. And they were separated from God. that was called death. Now, he was alive, but he was away from God. And Jesus came to bring us back to God. That's the whole point. That's why he did what he did. We're still alive. We live our lives. We act out our lives and have families and all those kinds of things, but we were not alive to God. And all of our efforts to get to him, all these laws and all the feasts of the Old Testament to get to him, they covered sin for a while, but we'd have to redo that every year and bring another lamb and all, because we were separated from God. And Jesus comes along and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And it says when Jesus paid the price, he sat down forever. Forever at the right hand of God. Forever making good our eternal redemption. He joined us back to God again. He made us alive to God. We were dead and now we're alive. We were lost and now we're found. We were born again. That's what he was telling Nicodemus in the third chapter. And it says here in the second chapter of Ephesians. That was John, the third chapter I was quoting about being born again. Second chapter of Ephesians, first verse. "And you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Thank God that spirit does not now work in me.
Yes.
"Among whom we also all had once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. But God..." I love this. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved."
Amen.
Wow. And that all took place in your spirit. That's what was born again. That's what was redeemed. That's where salvation took place. And that was something God did. And it was all God, none of you. All you did was call. You accepted the offer, which anyone can do that. Everyone can do that. But being saved is something God does. In fact, he goes on and he says this. He says, "Raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast."
Amen.
Yes, amen.
That took place in my spirit.
Amen.
Now notice how he goes on here. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Wow, our works did not save us. His work saved us, but he saved us so we could do good works.
Yeah.
I mean, he saved us to save us because he loved us and he's mercy and his grace, but he has made us now, well, he's made us good workers.
That's right.
Whereas before we weren't good workers. Why? Because there was something wrong on the inside of us.
That's right.
And although we may look like everybody else, we are his workmanship in here, inside. And he has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, we are his workmanship. Wait a minute. We are his workmanship. My body? No, not really. Although he did form it out of the dust of the ground, and that's not what he's talking about. My mind? No, not really. My mind is not talking about there. He did make all that, sure. But what he's talking about here is salvation. He's talking about being saved. He's talking about having been dead and now being made alive. So his workmanship, what is his workmanship? My spirit now is the work of God. The born again experience, the new birth, is the work of God. But it was a work of God that changed me, so now I can do what I couldn't do before. I mean, if I were to make something and its function was to do something, and if I was any good at what I was making, then when I got through making it, it should be able to do that. If I manufacture a car, it should run. It should go down the road if I'm any good at all. Amen? If Michael Harrison here hooks up an air conditioner, then when you plug it in and turn it on, it should work and blow cool air or hot air if it's a heater. That's if it's any good. Are you with me? And he is. I'm not going to point here.
Thanks.
Yeah. Very. You're great. You're wonderful. You're good. You're good. Whatever it is you do, I mean, it should work when you get through, if you're any good in what you do. So if we were to come along and say, well, I can't do that. I know God says forgive, but I can't do that. I know God says love, and I can't do that. Then you're saying God really didn't do a good job.
Amen.
Right?
Come on.
Because wait a minute now. Because he made you to do good works.
Yes, he did. Wow.
Isn't that right? I mean, come on, you're more than who you are on the outside. You're more than what you see on the outside. If you've been born again, you are different now. Now, you say, what's the problem? Well, I can tell you probably the problem is, more than likely, we hadn't renewed our mind. We don't know what God says. We hadn't been spending time in the Word. And we're still conformed to the world. We haven't been transformed. Transformed into what? One of those big monsters on Transformers? Robots in disguise, you know. No, he's talking about transforming us into Jesus man. Jesus woman. Instead of hateful loving now. Are you with me?
Amen.
And that, you know, that takes some effort on our part. That takes some renewing of our mind and changing our habits and changing who we hang around with and so on and so forth. That has to do with you working out your salvation.
Yeah.
Not working for your salvation, but working out your salvation. Mm-hmm. We have to all work out our salvation.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Don't make words mean what they don't mean, okay? We don't work for our salvation, we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We work it out of the inside of us. What happens out here, listen, it's going to be our responsibility because we are still down here and God is only down here in us. And so we're the gateway or the doorway into this world. If God's going to love, he's going to have to love through us. That means we're going to have to turn our will over to him. But if we'll do it, if we'll turn our will over to him, we've been born again. We are new creatures. We are his workmanship. He made us to love people. He made us to forgive people. He made us to lay hands on the sick. He made us to confess his word and change the circumstances and situations. He made us to believe and trust him and change everything through prayer. He made us that way, and we can do it. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us, and greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world.
Amen.
That's good.
But we've got to start living from the inside out. And we're going to have to renew our mind because we are more than what we look like on the outside. We're a whole lot more than what we look like on the outside. In fact, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I can live for God. Well, it's just so hard. No. His commandments are not grievous. John tells us that. 1 John 5th chapter tells us that. It's not impossible to serve God. It's not hard to serve God. In fact, if you'll fan that flame when you're born again, you're already stirred up, excited anyway.
Yeah,
come on, man. You've got some compassion and some passion. You've got some desire and some drive. Don't let it die out. Get in the Word. Get in church. Get around Christians. Feed your faith.
Amen.
Starve your doubts to death and let them die. I mean, really, the danger when you're born again is that you don't get in a good church, you don't get around Christian people, and you don't change your friends. And you don't read the Bible like you should, don't pray like you should. That's the danger. You're still born again, you're still saved, but you're just going to be ineffective. You need to fan the flame. I can remember when Brent and I got saved, man, we just got in church every time a door opens. We went there, Bible study we'd get a hold of. We read the Bible every day and prayed about everything. And we were just nuts. We were fanatics. But it changed us. We changed our habits. We changed what we watched. We changed what we read. We changed who we talked to and the way we talked.
Amen.
We changed everything. And that didn't save us. It just made us more effective as a witness. It made us more effective in serving God and getting the victory. God saved us. That was part of the Spirit, my born-again Spirit. See, I am now alive. I was dead. Now I'm alive to God. Hallelujah. Listen, before that, I didn't even want to go to church. Are you kidding? I was dead to God. It wasn't somewhere I wanted to be. But after I got saved, I wanted to go to church because I was alive to God. And all of a sudden, I wanted to be around people who knew him. Now, you can kill that voice. You can You can push it down. I mean, determine you're not going to hang around Christians. Determine you're not going to read your Bible. Determine you're not going to pray about things. And, you know, it's hard. It's very hard to do that. But it can happen, and it gets easier as the years go by. Don't do it. Amen? Don't do it. You're not being true to who you are. You are a Christian. You are a believer. Amen? You're made for something better than this. You really were. There's more in you than there is on the outside of you. And you need to wake up to who you are. You know, there's a scripture, in fact, 1 Corinthians 15:34. Is it 15:34? It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame, is what he says. It's fascinating scripture when he's saying, you know, we like to teach on sin all the time. You know, a church, we don't. But a lot of churches will get up and talk about sin, talk about ungodliness, and talk about how sinful and ungodly. Well, that doesn't do anything but demean and push down and condemn and make your people feel like a worm of the dust and worthless and unworthy. Listen, you're not worthless and unworthy. You were, but you're not now. You've been made worthy by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you're of great worth and value now. Are you kidding me? The whole world's going to pass away. You're going to live forever. I mean, we're going to outlive all this and look at all this as an old tale. I mean, everything you see, the majesty of the mountains and the seas and everything man ever built, I mean, it's nothing compared to who you, just one human spirit born of God,
yes,
is greater than all that. But see, that never made anybody live right, just teaching against sin. I'm against sin, no question. I'm not against the sinner. Not against you if you sin. Not against me if I sin. I'm against sin. But what's going to make us live right and live holy is teach righteousness.
That's right.
It says, awake to righteousness and sin not.
Woo.
For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame, is what he says. Think about it. We, not knowing who we are, not knowing we've been made righteous, not knowing we've been made born again, not knowing we've been made to serve Him. Hallelujah. He made us to love people. He made us to live holy and to believe Him and trust Him. Praise God, I am a trusting, loving, believing machine.
Hallelujah.
That's what He made me to do. And if I will wake to that, I quit sinning. Because I'm not awake, I'm not aware, and don't know who I am. I'm more than what I am on the outside. I'm more than what I am on the outside. Because I don't know that. That's why I sin. Woo! And man, the Bible just so plain over and over telling us who we are in Christ. We are in Christ now. My spirit is born again.
Amen.
I am a new creature in Christ. In fact, turn over there, 2 Corinthians. That's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But we've got to educate ourselves. We've been educated naturally. We've been educated in the natural world, but we hadn't been educated spiritually, I don't think. Until we get in church, get in the Word. Now you here have, and I understand that, but you know, you gotta keep going over the stuff. You gotta have refresher courses. You'll let this stuff slip.
That's right.
You know, Peter said, I put you in remembrance of these things, although you already know them, to the end that you may be established. I think that's significant. He says, I put you in remembrance although you already know them. Because if you don't remember this and keep going over this, you're not gonna be established. You'll know it and you'll just let it slip.
Amen.
And for long you're just like everybody else. And we are not like everybody else.
That's right.
See, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, yeah, you do. You're going to believe God. That's what you're going to do. You're going to trust God. And God's going to move in you, and He's going to work through you, and you're going to be fine, and you're going to get through this, and you're going to come out better, and you went in, and you're going to keep going higher and higher, and God's going to use you more and more. Woo! Because that's what we're here for. We're still here to make a difference. I believe that with all my heart. I believe if it was all about just getting saved, then we'd go to heaven the moment we accept Jesus.
Yeah.
And people would be just disappearing at altar calls every Sunday. If that was it. But God's got something bigger in mind. Amen. He really does. He wants to use us to make a difference. There's a world out here that needs Jesus. And it's a messed up and needs help and hope. And you know, and you're it. You and I are it. And we can do this thing. We can do it. I tell you, we're changing Will's Point. I believe it. I believe every church in this town is changing Will's Point. I believe Christians are making the difference. Christians are changing the world. In fact, the Antichrist can't even come to power until we get out of here.
That's
Scripture's real plain that we're going to be taken out in a rapture and taken up, and then the son of perdition, the man of sin, will be revealed. That's how important a church is, and we don't even realize how much power we have and how much we hold back sin and hold back lawlessness in this earth. That's one of the reasons it's going to be so bad in the tribulation, because the church won't be here.
Yeah.
And that staying power, that force that the devil has trembled at and tried to keep us deceived into thinking we're weak and worthless and no good, and all this time he's shaking in his boots hoping we don't find out who we are. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you.
Yep.
That's what the Bible says.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we don't know that. You know, in the movies, it's the priest is the first one that gets killed. The preacher with the cross, he gets killed first right off the bat, you know. And the one with all the power is the bad guy or, you know, the vampire or somebody. Are you kidding me? You get a man or woman of God walking in one of those places in the name of Jesus, come out of him. Every demon in the room would jump and leap.
That's right.
No, don't get your theology from Hollywood, okay? Get it from the Word. Y'all found 2 Corinthians 5th chapter? I think it's fascinating the way Paul says this in the 16th verse. He says this, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Man, that's pretty strong. Because we're mad about knowing people in the flesh, you know. First impressions and the way they look and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying those things don't matter. They do, and I think you ought to present yourself the best you can and have some pride in yourself, not ungodly pride, but have some pride in the fact that God made you, because you will turn people off unnecessarily. You don't want to offend people before you get to minister to them. Are you with me? I do try to brush my hair a little bit, maybe clean up before I get up here and preach. Are you with me? Because I don't want y'all looking at me like this the whole time and not hearing the thing I'm saying, you know. I mean, that's important. But I hope you know me not after the flesh. And I hope... would like to think I know you not after the flesh. And so what's he talking about? 17th verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the next verse explains it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Now, what's he talking about? Is he talking about the flesh? No, he just got through saying it wasn't the flesh. And he got through saying, I don't know someone after the flesh. So I'm not talking about the flesh, and I'm not looking at the flesh. I'm looking beyond the flesh, because you are more than what you see on the outside.
That's right.
Amen. You're a whole lot more than what you see on the outside if you are in Christ.
Yeah.
If you have been born again. Now, you look the same from the day before you accepted Jesus to the day after. Except, like I said, maybe you smile a little more. You know. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Something never had been. You're something new. A new creation. A new creation. New creation. A new, something created new. Well, who did that? God. We are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. That God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I love that verse, that Ephesians 2:10. That word... workmanship is poema in the Greek. We get the word poem from that. We are God. A poet's work is his, what he has done. His poem, his poetry, his books are his works. The works of, we even named them, the works of Shakespeare. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So we are God's work or God's poetry. You might say it this way. And Paul did. He says, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, known and read of all men. I am poetry, and so are you. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
We're God's poetry. But we're created unto good works. Now it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, something created differently, a new creation, something that wasn't before. So whatever you are now, after you accepted Jesus, is different than what you were before. What are you now? You're a good worker, because he created you unto good works. You're a forgiver. You're a lover.
Yes.
You're a holy one. You're a Christ lover, a Christ server, a Christ witness. You're a Christian. And this is something he did. Now we need to act on it. Amen? Yes. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. What old things? Old things what? Did my body change? No, not really. Do all the thoughts I thought before gone? Are they gone all of a sudden? I don't remember anything I used to think? Or no, that's still all there. My thoughts are still there. What all passed away? All that dead sin in my spirit, that unregenerate, dead to God, passed away. Now I'm alive to God. My spirit's born again. Are you with me? Getting it? Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. New outside? No. New in my mind? No. New where? My spirit. My spirit's been made new. Y'all see that? It can't be my body, and it can't be my mind. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about my spirit. So where does this new birth take place? Where does salvation take place? In my spirit. That's what God does. Now all things are of God. Are all things are of God in my body? No. Are all things of God in my mind? No. Are all things of God that happened to me in life? No, that's not what he's talking about. All things are of God in my spirit now.
Yes.
And this thing called Christianity, salvation, redemption, this new birth is all God and none of us.
That's right.
And all this is of God. Man, this is good stuff.
Yes, it is. Come on.
This is of God. What? Salvation is of God. Hallelujah. I've been born again. Feels like I'm born again.
Yeah.
It's a new third day song, you know.
Yeah.
Feels like I'm breathing for the very first time. I'm breathing now. I'm breathing the Spirit of God. I'm breathing the air of heaven. I'm breathing new life now. My spirit's been born again. I am a spirit. I have a soul and I live in a body. And this is, it means a whole lot. I mean, when you, and I'm taking it slow and I'm going over it real slow here, but we need to understand this, that we have got to renew our mind. I've been born again, but I got to renew my mind. Or else my mind, if it stays full of the world, it's going to act on what the world says. If it stays full of my feelings and my pull, the pull of my flesh, it's going to act in the flesh. You know what Galatians tells us? It says, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh.
Yeah.
Whoa, spirit down here, flesh out here. Well, what's in the middle here, my soul? That's why I had to renew my mind, because I've been born again in my spirit.
Yeah.
But it's my responsibility to renew my mind, so that my mind's full of the Word, and my mind and my spirit would agree, and they'll overcome my flesh.
Amen.
You know, the Bible says if any two agrees touching anything, it shall be done.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The problem with us is we're so worldly minded that our flesh and our mind agree, and so we live in the flesh.
Yeah.
But if we'll get spiritually minded, be carnally minded is death.
Yeah.
Romans 8 chapter tells us that 4th, 5th, and 6th verse there. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. If I get spiritually minded, then my spirit will rise up and I'll live out of my spirit. And if I do that, I'll love and I'll forgive and I'll believe God and I'll trust God and I won't get in fear. I'll just stay in faith. But I've got to fill my mind full of God's Word to do that. That's my job. Being born again is God's job. I believed, I trust Him, He saved me. And I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. But that doesn't mean I'm going to have victory. It doesn't mean I'm going to live the Christian life. It doesn't mean I'm going to be a witness. It means I can.
Yeah.
It means I have been made to do that. I was born again to live holy and live right. I was washed in the blood and saved so that I could love people and live holy. Now, whether I do that or not is my choice. Whether I get in training, get in discipline. Amen? Woo! That's good stuff, isn't it? It's better preaching y'all already a minute. So, you may have been lied to. You may have been trampled down and run over. You may have been stepped on, pushed down, and bamboozled. But I'm here to tell you, you're more on the inside than you are on the outside. And there's more to you than what you see on the outside. And you need to get your face out of that mirror on the wall in the bathroom and get your face in the mirror of God's Word.
Amen.
Woo! And find out who we really are.
That's right.
that holds us back more often than not. I mean, even in me, I have the same problem. I slip away from what I really am. I start thinking, you know, worldly, not necessarily sinfully, but it is sinful to not trust God, not believe God, not make a difference, and think I can't do anything, and I've reached my limit, and so on. No, you hadn't reached your limit. You can make a difference. You were born to make a difference.
Glory to God.
Woo. Okay, real quick, let me wrap this up. Man, it's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
And when I say wrap it up, I don't mean get through.
Yeah.
I mean just get to a stopping point and we can go home. You know, because you don't get through with this. This is probably going to be a series here. This is good stuff. He says, 17th verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God in my spirit where they weren't before. Hallelujah. I was lost and now I'm found. Praise God. I was dead and now I'm alive. All that junk in me, it's gone. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is who I am. I don't know anybody after the flesh anymore, including me. Amen? Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
He reconciled me and I can go reconcile others. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Amen. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I can do this. I'm an ambassador for Christ. I can do this. Hallelujah. Well, in that last, look at that. Okay, last verse. Okay, this is it. This is it. 21st verse. For he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Thank you.
Wow. That's who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who I am on the inside. That's who you are on the inside if you know Jesus. You are a whole lot more on the inside than you are on the outside. And we need to wake up to that and rise up and be counted. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, stand up. Give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Woo!